This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out here live in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Sportsbook, where this place was jumping, it was popping. You know why? We got a little bit of juice. The Indiana Pacers, in case you missed it, a big win to make it a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals. 116-107 at home over the Thunder. It was awesome. I mean, Oklahoma City came out with the first blow, taking the lead at the end of the first quarter, covering the 1.5 to open things up in the first frame, 32-24. And then in the second half, Indiana responded, took a lead going into the break. And in the third quarter, Oklahoma City answered right back, and we were going shot for shot. And it's in the fourth quarter where things separated. The Pacers just took over. They were able to get their style of fight, and Oklahoma City fell into the trap. Mark Daigneault is a great coach, but he got out-coached by Rick Carlisle. Carlisle dictated everything in this game, and whatever he did to get Benedict Mathurin going, he was a revelation. Benedict Mathurin was your leading scorer in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Let me repeat that. The leading scorer of Game 3 of the NBA Finals was not league MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It was not Team USA member Tyrese Halliburton. It was not Pascal Siakam, who has been tremendous in the postseason in his career. And it was not Chet Holmgren or Jalen Williams for the Thunder. Off the bench, Benedict Mathurin ends up being your leading scorer. He was 140-1 to be the top scorer in the game. Chet Holmgren led the game in rebounds at plus 250. And Halliburton, with 11 dimes, led the game in assists at plus 105. And just like that, we have a series. Series price has adjusted, and the respect is starting to be shown for Indiana. Right now, Oklahoma City is down to a minus 230 favorite to win the series, plus $1.90 when it comes to the Pacers. And the story of that market began with OKC minus 750, Indiana at plus 400. It then shifted, cut in half, and now we're in half of the half of the half. We are trending in a direction where this series is going seven. I know we hoped for six. We thought five. We're getting seven. Everything has played out exactly how the Indiana Pacers wanted. And I think maybe too much was made about what happened in game two. Once the Pacers won game one, game two was irrelevant. Game two had nothing to do with their plans. That was always going to be a mulligan. Stealing game one meant they stole home court. Now you come home for a couple games where you split again, you go back to OKC, they win, game six is in your building, you win, and game seven's anyone's game. Home court's gone for the Thunder, and all of a sudden the Indiana Pacers are in the driver's seat when it comes to the NBA Finals, something we didn't see coming. A big part of that was SGA going under his points total. It was set at 33.5 for game three. He finishes with a tough day, 24 points, 9 of 20 from the field. He has been an efficient beast every step of the way for the Thunder, and he just wasn't there. He wasn't able to knock down the looks. They were there. The looks were there. The shots just didn't go in. That was an issue. Chet Holmgren, 0 of 6 from 3, even though he had 20 points. He went over his prop of 14.5 points. We had that over at VSiN.com/picks, where you can get picks from every single show here on the network. And I loved Holmgren in this spot. But once he cashes for you, I don't know if you go back to him again, because the secondary pieces for the Thunder have been just very up and down every step of the way in the playoffs. One night it's Jalen Williams. One night it's Chet Holmgren. One night it's Alex Caruso. The problem is it's very rarely all of them and SGA at the same time doing what you need them to do. And that's been an issue here, and that's why Indiana has some life. We have a little bit of juice. And I think the Pacers see blood in the water. Halliburton over 17.5 points gets there. Over 4.5 rebounds, over 8.5 assists, and over 2.5 three-pointers made. And he cashes plus 155 to get a double-double in the contest. The other key story for the Pacers was TJ McConnell off the bench. He only played 15 minutes, but man, did he make an impact. 10 points, 5 assists, 1 rebound, 5 steals. I'll repeat that. 5 steals for TJ McConnell, who goes over 6.5 points, under 2.5 rebounds, but over 3.5 assists. For TJ McConnell, the 5 steals is an absolutely crazy number. And that's where we sit when it comes to the NBA Finals, where Friday's line is fascinating because it's some more of the same. It's what we just had. It's Oklahoma City favored on the road at Indiana by 6. Total is 225.5. We saw a big drop in the total as far as game 3 is concerned, where it was sitting around 226.5, 227, dropped to 226 right before tip, and now we've got a game 4 total set at 225.5. I like the under. I think Oklahoma City goes back to Hartenstein in the starting lineup. And even if they don't, I think it's abundantly clear they are not built for the pace the Pacers want to play at. I know this game went under last night with Indiana cashing as a 5.5-point dog plus $1.80 on the money line. I'm aware it went under. But the opportunities and shots were there for the Thunder. They just didn't hit them. Because of that, I think the Thunder need to self-evaluate that we're trying to do what Indiana does. And because of that, we're keeping them in the games and we're down 2-1. Let's go do what we do, which is let our defense set up our offense and turn them over instead of trying to go shot for shot, run and gun with them. And that's what I expect from Mark Daigneault and company when it comes to game 4 on Friday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson here on Cashing Out. I want to take a quick look at the Thursday Major League Baseball card because we do have some interesting matchups beginning early in the day. The first one coming up 1:10 on the East Coast is the Nationals at the Mets at Citi Field. Right now, Mike Soroka and company for Washington, $2 dogs on the road. Senga takes the hill for New York at -251. That total set at 8. Mets are 26-7 at home this year. They are not losing this game. They are on a 5-game win streak, a 4-game losing streak for Washington. Soroka's not been terrible pitching to a 4.86 ERA. I think he's had a lot of bad luck. He is coming off a really good performance, 6 innings, 2-hit shutout of Texas, where he tallied 7 strikeouts. He's 4-1 lifetime against the Mets, a 3.08 ERA in 7 starts, and a 2.31 ERA at Citi Field. But I don't know if I could back him in this spot. $2 is juicy, though. I would say that because I do think the Washington offense is pretty good. The problem is the guy he's going against, and that's Kodai Senga. We touched on it in 3 up and 3 down. Senga has been tremendous. He's coming off 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts at Coors Field. He's 3rd in Major League Baseball with a 1.59 ERA and 3 career starts against the Nats, a 2.65 ERA, 17 strikeouts, 17 innings. And I'm going to bet his K-prop. We're going to go over 5.5 strikeouts, -145 juice over at DraftKings on Kodai Senga. You could get greedy. You could go over 6.5 and take a plus price, but I feel like that 5.5 is a little bit safer. I don't love laying -145 on the VIG when it comes to a player prop, but in this spot, if he goes 6 innings, we get 6 strikeouts. It's simple as that, and I do believe he goes 6 innings tomorrow for the New York Mets. Next game on the card, it's the Rangers at the Twins with Texas plus $1.38 as the visiting team, -169 with the home squad and the Twins. Total set in 8.5. It's Patrick Corbin facing Bailey Ober. Texas is on a 3-game winning streak. I actually have to see what they did in the game tonight. Nope. That streak was snapped. They lost 6-2. Sorry, a lot of my notes are from before the games. Minnesota had lost 4 of 5 prior to Wednesday. They won 6-2. And now it's a spot for Patrick Corbin, who's been really solid. 12 starts, 3.52 ERA. Just 53 Ks, though, in 61 1/3 innings. So he's doing it by pitching to contact. He's coming off a start on Friday where he went 8 innings versus Washington, allowed 2 earns, 2 strikeouts. And he's facing a Minnesota offense that's just 19th in OPS versus lefties, but they were 10th a year ago. So they have lefty mashers as far as that goes, and I'll have a player prop related to that in a moment. Bailey Ober takes the hill for Minnesota, coming off 5 earned runs allowed, 7 innings on Friday versus Toronto, 3.78 ERA this year. He is much better at home, 3.08 home ERA versus 4.65 away. So that's why the market seems to like Bailey Ober in this situation. I have 2 player props I like. Based on historical results and based on players heating up at the right time, we're going to look at Marcus Semien, who has really good numbers against Bailey Ober. 7 of 13 with a 5.38 average lifetime versus Ober. 2 home runs and a double. And this is where history meets current because Simeon's starting to heat up. 9 of 23 over his last 6 prior to Wednesday. 2 homers, 2 doubles. I like Marcus Semien in the hits market. If you can get him at a good price or a total base prop, total base would be the way I'd look, but right now it's a half a total base at -185 juice. If we flip it to over 1.5 total bases, I was looking and I believe it's plus $1.35 there for Marcus Semien. He's a guy I'm looking to bet on. And on the other side for Minnesota, Byron Buxton, over 1.5 total bases, minus 120. He's great against lefties. Really good numbers against Corbin, 2 of 6, 2 homers, and he hit a homer in Wednesday's game. So I like Byron Buxton to stay hot in this situation against the Southpaw. Another game coming up tomorrow, Orioles and the Tigers, the Yankees and the Royals. We will get to those when it comes to our VSiN Morning Bets segment later in the show, where I have bets regarding the total, one on a team and one on the game. If you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcuta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live action with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on. Players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew, and it's addictively fun. Here's the hookup. Email support@xcuta.com. Mention VSiN and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, that's xcuta.com, xcuta.com. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. The NBA Finals have also been upgraded because the Indiana Pacers have taken control up 2-1. We'll speak with a guy who is at the game in person tonight, live from Indianapolis, and he also just happens to be one of the sharpest humans on the planet, especially when it comes to golf. And we have an event called the U.S. Open coming up. He's Wes Reynolds, and his best bets are next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're not watching the NBA Finals, you're missing out on some of the best drama you're going to get in sports all year long. Welcome back into the show. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'm fired up to be here because we are coming off one of the better games you're ever going to see in a postseason of any sport. In case you missed it, you're just getting up to speed with things. The Indiana Pacers are up 2-1 in the NBA Finals, a 116-107 win. Game stays under the 226 total. Indiana cashes, obviously, plus 5.5 as an outright winner, plus 180 on the money line. And to help us understand what the scene was like in Indy, we're going to welcome in VSiN.com's Wes Reynolds. Wes, I can't imagine you as a Pacers fan, someone who's worked in that organization and who just loves this team. Tell me what it was like inside that building today, and what was it like to watch your team take control of the NBA Finals?
Yeah, it was crazy, Dustin, and good to be with you tonight. It was absolute madness, and that's about what I expected to, and that's what I was telling people in the analysis going into Game 3 tonight, is that this crowd is at some point going to make a difference. And it did. It really did tonight, because it's been 25 years since they've been to an NBA Finals. And, you know, you're talking about the drama and how great these finals have been. Maybe alert some of the national media and some of the ones that just look for the big markets, right? I've seen two teams be pretty damn competitive, and I think this has been a pretty fun series, and it's going to continue to be a fun one.
Yeah, I think people are missing out. It's really annoying. I mean, I just did it on my Mad Dog Sports radio show, VSiN Live, weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern with Patrick Maher. We complained about the TV ratings with people not watching, because it's more to me they're missing out on great basketball. Indiana's come to play. They stole game one. Game two, whatever. Once you steal game one, game two didn't matter. I thought today was a statement, Wes. I thought they made a statement that they can absolutely hang, but more importantly, I think Rick Carlisle's fingerprints are all over this win. He dialed up everything right, and he had Oklahoma City on their heels, something we have not seen all season long. Talk to me about the performance of the head coach of the Pacers.
Yeah, you nailed it, Dustin, and Rick Carlisle has been one of the better coaches in the league for well over a decade plus now, and he continues to prove it. It's just, I thought he really emphasized, we got to get into the paint more. We got to get into the paint. And that's exactly what they did. You've got to attack down low. You've got to attack Chet. You've got to attack Hartenstein. You've got to get to the paint. You can't just shoot threes. Now, attacking the paint's going to give you open threes when you can go five out like the Pacers do, although Miles Turner was not 100% tonight. He was ill, even though he did have five blocks. So everybody contributed tonight. But I thought what they did, they didn't shoot the three ball very well. They only hit, I think, 9 of 27 tonight. But they didn't need to because they were getting to the rim. Tyrese was getting to the rim. Nembhard was getting to the rim. McConnell was getting to the rim. Siakam was getting to the rim. Siakam was really kind of the X factor tonight because what they did was they played him at the center position in the Hartenstein minutes for Oklahoma City. And that's where the big mismatch is for Pascal, I think. And they exploited it. And then, of course, you mentioned Ben Mathurin. We were talking about him before we started the segment. Ben Mathurin just had an absolute monster game tonight. He wasn't here to play any games, and he didn't play any games. And this is a guy that had a couple rough games in that Knicks series. But ever since then, I think he's really come to play.
Progressive Guest Line brings you Wes Reynolds. You read him at VSiN.com. You see him all over the network, and you know he's one of the sharpest guys out there. All of his picks, by the way, available at VSiN.com/picks. Become a pro right now. All you got to do is use the promo code BOOK, and you'll get a free copy of Josh Applebaum's NFL Sharp Betting Playbook coming out in the summer, plus the picks from people like Wes and our sharp hosts and guests from across the network, video and audio streams, and our NFL betting guide that is coming out in just a few weeks here. So use the promo code BOOK at VSiN.com/subscribe. He's Wes Reynolds. Catch him, of course, on the Long Shots podcast, where he has great golf picks as well. We'll get to his U.S. Open stuff in a moment, but have to get your thoughts on the adjustments in this series, because right now in the series price, Oklahoma City's minus 230, Indiana's down to plus 190, and Game 4 is priced very similarly to what we just saw in Game 3. OKC minus 6, total 225.5. Does that number surprise you there?
I get the whole zigzag thing because, look, it's been pretty profitable if you've been betting it throughout the NBA playoffs. But I thought 5.5 tonight was an over-adjustment. This is an Oklahoma City team, by the way, that has yet to cover a game on the road in the playoffs. In any series against Memphis, they were life and death in those games against Memphis, who was a borderline playoff team. You know, they're not in the class of the Pacers. People forget Pacers have won 14 playoff games in this postseason. This is not a team that's a joke. This is not a team. I saw some people saying, oh, this is the worst team in years to make the NBA finals. Well, they've got egg on their face and are not looking very smart making those statements, because this team is battle tested. You know, Milwaukee playing the Greek Freak, playing Cleveland, who won 64 games, playing the Knicks. They didn't have a soft road to get here to the NBA finals. So yeah, I am a little bit surprised that it went to 5.5. I thought maybe you'd see a little bit of a discount based on what we saw tonight.
All right, let's shift gears, go to the U.S. Open, where, I mean, everyone waits on bated breath for Wes's golf picks every single week. They're up at VSiN.com right now. I read the article. It basically was my prep for this tournament, so thank you, Wes, for that. You make things very easy for your boy. Oakmont Country Club, Pennsylvania. We know it's going to be chaos. That's what U.S. Open's all about. I know you like a couple guys at the top of the board and a bunch of long shots. Let's begin at the top. Bryson DeChambeau plus 750, John Rahm plus 1350. What do you see that you like about them against this tough course?
Yeah, Bryson, the defending champion, of course, of the U.S. Open, won it when Rory McIlroy kind of let him back in, and then Bryson hit that great bunker shot to save par on 18. But he's obviously long off the tees, as long as anybody. But what he doesn't get credit for, Dustin, I think, is that even though he's kind of the scientist and that's always what he's been, he soaks his golf balls in Epsom salts and does all kind of weird, crazy stuff. But he's more of an artist, too, especially around the green with his chipping and his pitching and his putting on these fast greens. So Bryson, I think, really fits this course. He's not going to maybe be able to bomb and gouge like he did at Wingfoot a couple years ago during the COVID U.S. Open in 2020, but I think this is a guy I'm going to trust here, especially around the green. Same with John Rahm, who left for LIV the year before, hasn't really contended in a major until last month at the PGA, where he ended up P8. Now, he was tied with Scottie Scheffler when Scheffler started the back nine, and then Rahm in his last three holes kind of went for broke, saying, okay, I've got to do something to beat Scottie Scheffler, who's number one in the world, and then he ends up five over the last three holes. But I think John Rahm getting back in the mix in a major again, is going to get his juices flowing. I would be very surprised if he did not play well this week.
VSiN.com is where you can head for Wes's weekly PGA, actually live as well, golf articles, where he breaks everything down, and he's hit a million winners already to start the season. We're previewing the U.S. Open with him, and those were the two at the top of the board. And you're the second person now to bring up Neiman to me at 30-1, but you tell me, and we've got about 2 minutes left in the segment, what's your favorite long shot plays here and why in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I'll just hit Neiman really quickly because it's kind of a show me what you can do in a major, and he has not done a lot in a major, but the guy's won four events already this year, four and eight tries on LIV, and he was T8 at the PGA, so I think he fits this course. He's a long hitter, and he's a good putter on these fast greens, but in terms of favorite long shot, and this has been hit from where I bet it, I bet it at 100-1. I'm seeing now 70, 75. Harris English, who was T2 last month at the PGA, was 12th at the Masters, won for us earlier this year at Torrey Pines at 100-1, which is another former U.S. Open course. So this is a guy that's a grinder, and he plays very well in the U.S. Open. He's got three top eight finishes in the last five U.S. Opens. So he's kind of got the game made for this type of major where you've got to really grind out pars, and the scoring is not going to be low. It's going to be really closer to par. This is not a tournament or a major where you're going to shoot 10 or 15 under to win this thing. So you're going to be close to par, and I think that's right in Harris English's wheelhouse.
He's Wes Reynolds. Catch him, VSiN.com, the Long Shots podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, and on X at WesReynolds1. But more importantly, he is the number one Pacer fan right now, and he's about to go tear up downtown Indianapolis. Have fun and be safe, my friend.
We got to save some for Friday, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because it's not over. Act like you've been there before, because I have a feeling this series is going back to Indy even after Game 4, obviously, with Game 6. That's Wes Reynolds, and he is the absolute man. VSiN.com/picks for all of his picks every day. He's got a million of them in every sport. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet using the promo code CASH. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match that deposit. That's edgeboost.bet using the promo code CASH. You know what we like to do when it comes to player props in baseball? We like to go mano a mano. Who is worth looking at in total bases, hits, runs, and RBI, and the rest of the baseball betting card? We'll dissect it all on the other side of cashing out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas. Remember, if you missed any part of this show or any show on the network, you can go back and download wherever you get your podcast. Of course, available on the VSiN Watch app. And listen, every single day, SiriusXM channel 158, and watch YouTube TV. There's a million ways to consume us. I guess really three, four. We're going through everything I just said, but it feels like a million. We're everywhere. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Put it on a t-shirt, the new slogan. We're everywhere, because that's what we're trying to do here. Take over the world. That's just me specifically. Management did not tell me to say that. Anyway, a lot going on in sports. In case you missed it, the Indiana Pacers, a 116-107 win in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. They take a lead in the series. They're now plus $1.90 to win the thing, do you believe? They obviously cash plus 5.5. They also cash on the money line plus 180. Game stays under the total of 226. And just like we all scripted it, Benedict Mathurin drops 27 points to lead the game with scoring. And if you have Benedict Mathurin to be the leading game scorer for Game 3 at 140-1, you got to tweet me the ticket. I don't think anyone bet it. Why would you? That is insane. But you can bet we're all going to look for a long shot coming up in Game 4, where the market has it priced as Oklahoma City minus 6 on the road again. So very similar to what we saw in Game 3. Total 225.5. I think the total is the play there. But shifting gears back to Major League Baseball, where it's a pretty good Thursday card despite being a short slate, where I see a lot of plays that I like, and one of them comes on the Tigers at the Orioles. Derek Skubal, Your Cy Young favorite laying a heavy price right now in the American League is minus 186 on the road at Baltimore, where they'll turn to righty Dean Kramer in this spot at plus 152. Total in the game is 8. This is a situation. Baltimore scored 10 runs on Wednesday night. Coming off that performance, I wonder how many runs are left in those bats, where they're going to take on Scooble, who's allowed one earned run in his last three starts over 23 and two-thirds innings. He also shut out this Baltimore offense back on April 27th, 6 innings, 11 strikeouts. His strikeout numbers have been a little bit down of late, 6 and 7 respectively in his last two starts, but the Orioles are dead last this year at OPS against Southpaws. Over his last month, Scooble, 35 and two-thirds innings, 2.27 ERA, 45 punch-outs, and a .73 whip, taking on Dean Kramer, who is fade city, especially on the road, by the way, where he has a 6.33 road ERA versus 2.25 back at Camden, 4.98 ERA on the season with a 1.41 whip, 53 strikeouts in 72 innings pitched. He just doesn't miss enough bats. And the question about this Tigers team coming into the year was, is there enough offense? I can tell you this, the bats are alive. The pitching's there. You heard it earlier on the show, Adam Rosenberg bet them 9-1 to win the World Series. I think it's very fair value on a team with the best record in baseball. Obviously, I like the Tigers tomorrow at Camden against the Orioles. I think it's a situation for Scooball and company where they have a chance to hit Dean Kramer. I mentioned he has good numbers at home, but I don't think he's ready for this Tigers offense. The Tigers have a lot of guys who see the ball well against him, including Riley Green and Kerry Carpenter. Javi Baez is 2-of-4 lifetime against him with a double. And an unsung hero of this Tiger squad is Zach McKinstry. Zach McKinstry is 3-for-6 lifetime with 2 doubles against Kramer, hitting .364 over his last 6 games heading into Wednesday with 3 triples. He's seeing the ball well. Kramer doesn't miss bats. That is a guy, McKinstry, that I'm looking to back in the prop market. A guy already locked in earlier today is Riley Green. We're going to go Riley Green over 1.5 total bases at plus 105. But I think the big play here is the Tigers team total over 4.5. I think they bounce back on the road where they were limited to a run on Wednesday. They're going to score plenty of runs against Dean Kramer. We're going over 4.5 on the Detroit Tigers team total. Other game coming up later tomorrow is the Yankees and the Royals. Will Warren takes the bump minus 150 against Seth Lugo and company in Kansas City at plus $1.23. Total is at 9. We touched on it in our 3-up, 3-down segment. Warren has been getting hit of late, a 6 ERA over his last 5 starts. And Seth Lugo, 2 starts since coming off the IL, but less than inspiring. I think it's a situation where the Yankees see the ball well off of a guy like Lugo, where the matchups hash that out. LeMahieu specifically for New York, 6-of-13 lifetime. That's a .462 average versus Lugo. LeMahieu is also hitting .375 over his last 5 with a home run. Paul Goldschmidt's 8-of-14, .571 with 2 ding-dongs against Seth Lugo. And a bunch of Yankee bats are heating up. Judge obviously has been hot all year long, but Austin Wells, look out for the catcher. .350 over his last 6 with 2 homers and 2 doubles. Bellinger's 8-of-25 over his last 6 with a homer and 2 doubles. It's a tough lineup for Seth Lugo to deal with, and I think Will Warren's going to get hit around as well. So we're going to go on the total over 9 on the game. And then player prop-wise, Vinny Pasquantino for Kansas City. Over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, minus $1.25. Pasquantino over his last 6 games is hitting .480, 12 of 25 with 2 homers, lots of extra base hits there. Looking at the Thursday Major League Baseball card here on Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, where I don't have an official play, but I am really intrigued by this Cardinals-Brewers matchup. It's Sonny Gray minus 131 on the road at the Milwaukee Brewers, +$1.07. Because a rookie is making his debut in Jacob Mizorowski. Total is set at 7.5, which feels like a ton of respect for Mizorowski. At AAA this year, a 2.13 ERA over 63 and a third innings pitched, a 31.6 K percentage, and an absolutely absurd 175 batting average against. Mizorowski is the number 4 prospect for the Brewers, 68th in all of baseball. He's touched 103 on the gun this year, an 80 grade fastball, a 70 grade curve, a 60 slider. I'm just ready to watch him do his work. This is a kid that's been hyped up. He has a live arm. I know the analytics experts love him. His pitching props currently aren't up, but I'd be intrigued to see if that K prop was 4.5, him going over. I have a feeling, though, the market's going to respect him, and we're going to be around 5.5, and I don't know if I touch that. For a debut against a Cardinals offense, that's been really good. Guys like Alec Burleson, guys like Brendan Donovan, really good numbers against righties that we'll get into in mano imano. So no official play there, but I am super pumped to see the rookie Jacob Mizrowski take the bump there. Pirates at Cubs, another game we have yet to touch on when it comes to Thursday. And I really want to find a way to back the Cubs, who are minus $2 favorites, plus 167 on Pittsburgh. Reason being, it's Jameson Taillon on the bump, who's been awesome for Chicago of late, really all year. And Andrew Haney, who has really good numbers, but he's Andrew Haney. At some point, he's got to come back down to earth. Andrew Haney this year is a 3.24 ERA, but only 52 strikeouts and 72 and a third innings pitched. He's a 4.37 career ERA guy. So whatever he's doing now is working. Is this the spot where it ends, though? He's also not great on the road, 3.58 away from home, 2.95 at home. He has a 6.75 career ERA against the Cubs in just two starts. 12 hits allowed in 10 and two-thirds innings. And you look up and down that Cub lineup, a lot of guys who mash lefties. Nico Hoerner with great numbers against lefties. Seiya Suzuki with great numbers against lefties. I want to take some of the Cubs team total, but I want to check the weather. Last I saw, wind blowing into right field, it's 4.5 plus $1.05. I think I'll get there because Horner's not a power guy. He's a contact guy. Suzuki's driving in a ton of runs. They don't need the home run to get there. It's just tough when that wind's blowing against you at Wrigley. And by the way, the odds are telling you they don't expect a ton of runs with that 7.5 total on the game. That's simply because of the wind. If the wind was simply neutral, we'd be looking at an overfest for the Cubs team total. But we have to check the weather as we get closer to first pitch. Let's squeeze in mano-a-mano here if we can and look at some of the better righty-lefty matchups for tomorrow. Let's begin with the lefties, as I mentioned. The Cubs hitters. Hoerner, 345 this year against southpaws. Suzuki hitting 323 against lefties. And he's got 7 homers and 4 doubles. He's a guy I think about in the player prop market if the wind looks right. We mentioned Byron Buxton earlier today. Buxton, 10 of 31 against lefties this year, hitting 323. He's got a couple homers. He's got a double. He's got a triple. We're going to go over total bases on him. He's got a really good matchup against Patrick Corbin, who just doesn't miss bats. And Buxton's heating up at the right time. And you see there on the graphic, Kyle Tucker, 308 against lefties with 5 homers this year, despite being a lefty, really good against lefties. And Ian Happ, he's made a career of hitting southpaws, hitting 301. And I think he's a guy who may be playable in a spot tomorrow against a southpaw in that matchup. Let's go over to the righties real quick if we can squeeze it in here. A couple that jump out to me are Brendan Donovan, who's hitting 346 for the Cardinals against righties. Also, Riley Green, who we mentioned, we're going to be on his over total bases. Alec Burleson total bases jumps out as well against a rookie where he's got 5 homers and 8 doubles against right-handed pitching. And we already mentioned Vinny Pasquantino as an option when it comes to hits, runs, and RBIs. That's some of our favorite bets, but it's not all of our best bets. We'll break all of them down next in our VSiN Morning Bet segment. This is Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Closing up shop here on Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's been a fun show. In case you missed it, the Indiana Pacers made the NBA Finals interesting with a 116-107 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Obviously, they were plus 5.5, so that covers. They also get there on the money line, plus $1.80. Game stays under 226, and just like we drew it up, Benedict Mathurin at 140-1. That was your leading scorer in the game. And just like that, the NBA Finals has a little bit of juice. The market has adjusted slightly when it comes to, obviously, the series, but the game, a slight adjustment for Game 4. We'll get to that as part of our VSiN Morning Bets segment. But first, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st at a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Our morning bets are going to be hot and heavy because we have odds on game four of the NBA Finals. Before we get to that, want to look at the series price where things have adjusted dramatically. Remember, when this opened, it was Oklahoma City minus 750, and it was 4-1 on the Indiana Pacers. Now we look, and it's OKC minus 230, plus 190 when it comes to Indiana. And game four, the Pacers continue to get no respect despite an epic performance in game three to go up 2-1. Oklahoma City is a 6-point road favorite. The total is 225.5. And if you want some of that money line, it's minus 230 on the Thunder, plus $1.90 as far as the Pacers are concerned. Right now, the player props are a little tough to figure out. They varied game to game here. I expect an adjustment from Oklahoma City, though. They've tried to play the Pacers game, and that's why they find themselves in a hole here in the series. I think they go back to what got them here, which is a slower tempo, using their defense to create the offense. And that's why I like the under in game four of 225.5 between the Thunders and Pacers in the NBA Finals. Looking at Stanley Cup Finals game four, this series has been crazy. We had two coin flip games that went to overtime to begin things. And at that point, I said these two teams are evenly matched. And then there was the 6-1 beatdown in game two where Florida took command. And it felt like they may have taken the souls of the Oilers. That's the concern there. But it feels like maybe everyone's overreacting with that narrative. I'll go back to what I believed following the first two games. These two teams are evenly matched. That was a bad game for Stuart Skinner. And whoever Knobloch decides to start in net, they will be better than that performance in game three. I mean, it's not possible to be worse, but if it's Pickard, if it's Skinner, either way, I don't see them allowing six goals because I think the defense makes some key adjustments there to try to limit Florida. And I expect McDavid to have some magic up his sleeve. That's why I think when I look at this one at plus $1.30 on Edmonton, that is the play for me, people. That's an official play. Lock it in. We get a bounce back from the Oilers. I'm not writing them off because of one bad loss. They bounced back from a horrible loss a year ago in this series. They'll do a little bit more of the same. Home ice doesn't matter like it used to. And I think $1.46 is way too heavy for Florida when I still believe these two teams are very evenly matched. That's the hockey. That's the basketball. Let's look to the baseball because I have a lot of plays coming on Thursday's card. It's a short card, but I like a lot of these matchups. Beginning with the early game, Nationals at Mets. 2-1 on the Nationals and Mike Soroka, if you like it. Minus 253 with Kodai Senga on the hill for New York at Citi Field. Total is 8. Let's go over 5.5 strikeouts on Kodai Senga. He's averaging a strikeout an inning. If he gets to 6 innings, which I believe he will against Washington, we'll get there at minus 145 juice. Let's also add a player prop in here where we're going to go over 1.5 total bases at plus 115 on Juan Soto. I'm curious about this number. Unless the market just believes he's going to get walked a ton, Soto is locked in right now. Over his last 12 games, a 341 average. He does have 16 walks, which could hurt us here, but I think he's going to get a hit off Soroka, and it's probably going to be of the extra base variety. He's 6 of 10 lifetime against Soroka with 2 home runs. He's locked in at the plate right now. He's doing the Soto shuffle. He's having fun. Plus money on Soto with the way he's seeing the ball. That feels like an easy gimme. Let's look at Rangers at Twins, where it's Patrick Corbin at Bailey Ober, plus $1.38 on Texas, minus 169 on Ober in Minnesota. Total's 8.5. I don't have an official play on the side or the total. I do have two player props that I like. Marcus Semien has great numbers going up in this one. 2 plus hits, plus $1.35 facing Bailey Ober from Minnesota. I like him to go over 1.5 hits at plus $1.35. He's also been hitting of late. It's a guy that has been a slow starter this year that Texas desperately needs. He's the only guy right now locked in at the plate. That's why I like him to go over his hits prop, or his total base prop, I should say. Byron Buxton total bases, we're going to go there over 1.5 as well at minus $1.20. Buxton kills lefties. Patrick Corbin doesn't miss bats. I think Buxton easily gets there, and he has really good numbers against Corbin lifetime. And shifting gears now to the Yankees and the Royals. We touched on it earlier in our three up, three down segment where, look, Seth Lugo's only made a couple starts since coming off the IL, but I have not liked what I've seen. And Will Warren's been very hittable, a 6 ERA over his last five starts. Warren and the Yankees are minus 150 favorites, plus 123 with the Royals and Lugo. Total is set at 9. I like the game to go over because I can make a strong case for both team totals. 3.5 on the Royals, 4.5 on the Yankees. I think they both get there. I think we're going to have a lot of runs. I also like Vinny Pasquantino, who hits righties really well. In a spot where Warren does strike out a lot of guys, but he's very hittable of late, I think Pasquantino, who's locked in at the plate right now over the last week, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs at minus 125. And then the Detroit Tigers tomorrow taking on the Baltimore Orioles. Tarik Skubal takes the hill. He's almost minus $2. Let's see, what is it right now? 186. 186 at the time of the broadcast, plus 152 on Dean Kramer in Baltimore. Total is 8. Detroit smashed Dean Kramer back on April 27th. I think they do more of the same. This is a spot where the Tigers offense just isn't getting respected enough. Let's go over 4.5 team total on the Tigers. You have to look up and down that lineup. Kerry Carpenter is great at hitting righties, and Riley Green's locked in right now. Riley Green is the guy I want to lock in. 1.5 total bases at plus 105. You could go Kerry Carpenter over 1.5 at minus 105. And Zach McKinstry, if you wanted to play him, I wouldn't argue either. I think all three should have really good days against the guy in Dean Kramer, who serves it up to left-handed hitting. And I like the Tigers to score a lot of runs and get a ton of hits here in Thursday's action. Trying to see if we missed any of the plays here. I don't believe we did, except for one, and that's a future. The National League Cy Young market, I understand what they're saying. It's Paul Skeens' award to win. Everyone else is playing for second place. He's minus 250 over at FanDuel. But there's a guy priced at 12-1 who's always in the conversation. And he's a veteran. He's been around the block. And sometimes you have to question young pitchers on bad teams like Paul Skeens if they'll be available later in the year. Zach Wheeler is a guy who's proven he can stay healthy late in the season. He's had 26 starts going back four seasons and 13 starts to start this year. He's on pace to do the same this year. I think 12-1 is way too long on a guy in Zach Wheeler who's having a Cy Young caliber season. We're looking at the numbers for him. He's got 101 strikeouts in just 82 innings. His ERA is 2.85. I believe he's going to be in the mix. And if he's in the mix and that number comes down on Skeens and we can lock in a profit, 12-1 is a great place to be holding that ticket on Zach Wheeler, who is always a bridesmaid in the conversation. Can he finally become a bride? Can he get that ring? It don't mean a thing unless you got that ring. And for Zach Wheeler at 35 years old, man, I like that number of 12-1. It has been a really fun show. I really appreciate you being with us. And of course, you can go back and catch any part of the show, anywhere you get your podcast, the VSiN Watch app. It's all available to you. We had a bunch of great guests. Rob Brender was tremendous breaking down Stanley Cup Final. We've got Game 4, and I hope Edmonton can extend this thing and make it interesting because the body language had me concerned, but I'm going to go for the bounce back. I think there's been an overreaction on Florida. Obviously, the Pacers were amazing. That series is now 2-1 Indiana, and the whole VSiN crew is going to be all over it, beginning with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis and VSiN by the Book, which you can catch every weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern, followed by Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin on A Numbers Game, all the way through to Money Moves, which is live from Omaha. I'm Dustin Sweetelson.